The FBI gets a new director today. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. Kash Patel will be sworn in by Attorney General Pam Bondi the day after a Senate confirmation the Democrats didn't have the votes to block. They call Patel a vindictive loyalist. Senator Adam Schiff says,
Kash Patel is Donald Trump's hand-picked enabler and henchman. The guy who would say yes when everyone else would say no.
But Republicans outvoted them, and Fox's Brooke Singman reports.
Kash will meet with his new staff inside the J. Edgar Hoover building today after already laying out his mission as director. He's vowing to let good cops be cops and rebuild trust in the Bureau, telling me, quote, that the American people deserve an FBI that is transparent, accountable, and committed to justice. The politicization of our justice system has eroded public trust, but that ends today.
Just before 5 o'clock this morning, the Senate wrapped up an all-night vote-a-thon.
The concurrent resolution, as amended, is considered agreed to.
With all Republicans except Rand Paul voting to approve a $340 billion budget blueprint using a process Democrats can't filibuster and block, boosting funding for border security and the military and energy production. But the House is working on a different version, even bigger. Israel's now saying the two youngest hostages Hamas took and then released in coffins yesterday were killed in custody in Gaza no later than November 2023.
Who kidnaps a little boy and a baby and murders them? Monsters, that's who.
Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vowing revenge while also calling this cruel.
These Hamas monsters also cynically refused to bring back the boy's mother, Shiri, and sent the body of a Gazan woman instead.
A disaster in Brazil. A truck crashed into a bus carrying college students, killing 12 passengers. The truck's driver was hurt, tried to run away. He was caught, hospitalized, and charged with homicide and other crimes. Luigi Mangione due back in court today for a hearing in New York City. He's facing state and federal charges accused of murdering UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson back in December. America's listening to Fox News.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. I care deeply about creating a world we can all fully participate in, free from stigma, misperceptions, and barriers. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Rooted in communities nationwide, Easter Seals helps empower millions of people, regardless of age or disability, through its life-changing services and powerful advocacy. Today and every day, Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Good morning and happy Friday from the News 11 Information Desk. I'm Scott Gross. The Yuma Police Department says that contrary to some rumors, they are not participating in immigration roundups across the city. Police Chief Thomas Garrity says he's aware of Arizona Proposition 314, which gives local law enforcement the power to arrest people who are breaking immigration laws, but
we believe everybody's part of the community. There are witnesses, there are victims who may be undocumented. That is not our concern.
And one lucky person who bought a Powerball ticket in Yuma is now $50,000 richer, but the winnings have yet to be claimed. The ticket was sold Wednesday at the Albertsons on 32nd Street. And best of luck to all of our local wrestlers competing in the state wrestling championships, which run through Saturday. Also, best wishes to the Yuma Catholic boys basketball team competing in the state semifinals this Saturday. And the boys soccer team, who are back in the state championship game tomorrow. I'm Scott Gross.
Hey Yuma, it's Mardi Gras on Main. Join Alexander Toyota, Burgers and Beer, and Fort Yuma Rotary for a night of free family fun. Friday, February 28th from 5 to 11 p.m. Enjoy live music from Eric Sage's Ultimate Rock Show, local vendors, and a costume contest. Grab your beads and bring the party to Main Street. Every dollar raised supports Fort Yuma Rotary's community projects. Don't miss out. Laissez-les bon temps rouler.
Sponsored in part by Alexander Toyota, Burgers and Beer, D&H Electric, Long Realty, Arbor Tech, The Fun Factory, and El Dorado Broadcasters.
Unseasonably mild weather continues with 80 for the high today, 15 mile per hour winds at times today. It's a little bit breezy, 53 the overnight low. Sunny and 82 tomorrow, 49 tomorrow night. Sunday, sunny and 84.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
Good morning, Yuma. Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggerberg, branch manager with Mortgage One here in studio. I don't believe we actually have Russ Clark on air today, which is kind of cool. So we've got a whole hour dedicated to ourselves without Russ Clark commentary, which is too bad. So we wish him well on his travels back from cold D.C. And in the meantime, we're going to enjoy weather that's still supposed to be about 80 degrees this weekend. So a couple things to talk about, both the market, both where this is going, and also what's going on in our community. So as the weather heats up, this is the best time of year. This is just 2 weeks away from midnight at the Oasis. So if you haven't started making plans, the 7th, 8th, and 9th, and I will say starting the 6th of March, the downtown rally on Main Street is now an official part of Midnight at the Oasis. But Thursday the 6th, Friday the 7th, Saturday the 8th, Sunday the 9th, Midnight at the Oasis. So get ready for nearly 1,000 classic cars all over Yuma. One of my most favorite things to do here in town, just, you know, both to be a participant, to take the kids out to, and just to see what happens here and around Yuma. So we're going to talk about that more the second half of the show. The question that I seem to be getting the most anymore in terms of mortgages is, should I sell? Should I turn around and buy a new home now? And what most people have this thought of is, I'm going to wait until mortgage rates drop before I turn around, sell my home, and move up into something else. And the sad thing is, you're buying and selling in the same marketplace. What I mean by that is, we already have seen, and we've talked about this the last couple of shows, if interest rates drop 1%, then typically what you see is about a 10% rate of return or increase on the value of the home. So meaning if rates drop 1%, you can expect that home to go up 10% in value. If rates dropped 2%, you might actually see home prices go up nearly 20% at the same time. So I don't want to wait until rates drop. I want to buy what I want now. And then if rates drop in the next year or two, then I'll be able to refinance my current rate with only what I paid for the house. I don't have to take that higher sales price, if you will. Now, same thing. You have some people say, well, you know, I'm going to wait and see if prices go down. I've been told by my cousin Earl, my Aunt Vicky, that home prices are going to come down, which A, I don't believe. B, I believe I can statistically prove it to anybody that they're not going to go down, at least here in Arizona. But if you're waiting for that to happen and you also own a home of your own, doesn't that mean by definition you're waiting for your home value to go down as well? And that's not the time to sell or buy, because you're in the same market. So if you're waiting for interest rates to pull back, so are other people, but that's going to force prices up. If you're waiting for home prices to come down, which they're not going to, but if you're waiting for home prices to come down, then your home is going to go down if you are planning on selling it. So really want to have those conversations, because part of this is the faster you get into the real estate and you start the process of paying down the principal balance, letting the market continue to run appreciation northwards, you're going to make more money or more equity on the home price. Now, if you say a normal FHA loan, and Russ and I talk about loan programs and stuff quite a bit here, he would know this answer. But on a normal FHA loan, you put 3.5% down. So that's your minimum investment. Yes, you can put more, but let's just assume 3.5. If you went in and looked at, and anybody could do this, if you went online and Googled really quick, estimated appreciation rates in the United States, Fannie Mae is going to tell you they're expecting upwards of 4%. The National Association of Realtors are telling you they're expecting 1.8 to 2%. The Mortgage Bankers Association is expecting 2.3. So let's assume somewhere in the 3% range. That means if you put 3.5% down on a home, in a year it's worth, let's say, 3% more, you've got nearly 100% return on your investment for what you just put down. Now, you look at the Wall Street guys and the investment firms there, they're talking about the stock market going up 10% on average, historically, 9.75, if you will. So I would love to think that I can get into a home, live in it myself, have a roof over my head, and I've literally doubled my money that I invested in it in a year. Now, am I going to get that money back out that fast? No, not ever. This is not a get-rich-quick scheme, if you will.
It's literally, I'm putting my money into something safe because I'm going to live in it. I'm going to make sure that it's taken care of. I'm going to make sure the maintenance is done. And I'm going to use and enjoy this asset while I'm building value. Then the next piece that we always talk about is the Monopoly game. And the Monopoly game is most everybody moves every 3 to 5 years. If you're on your second to third home now, it might be every 5 to 7 years. But let's pretend every 5 years people move. And if there was anybody else here, I would actually ask those same questions. And most everybody pretty much moves every 5 years. If you just turned the first home into a rental property that you bought and moved into the second one with minimal down, turned it into your owner-occupied, and now you let a tenant make the mortgage payment on the first, which then is reducing the principal balance while you're continuing to get all of that equity appreciation that, again, don't take my word for it. Listen to the Mortgage Bankers Association, the National Association of Realtors. Listen to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac's economists. If you look at just generic, general rates of appreciation, I'm not talking what we experienced here in Arizona. And you know, if you're listening to this, what your home values have done over the last 3 to 4 years. You know, 10 to 15% appreciation. We actually had 22 at one time. That's unheard of. It's not going to happen again. I don't want to see it happen again that way because that changes the market in a not good way. But if you say, look, I just am going to own my homes for a period of time, now I'm enjoying the appreciation, which is really weird because we hate the word inflation. Nobody likes the word inflation, but we love the word appreciation. And appreciation in a home is the same word as inflation. It's literally just used as a positive, not a negative. So, yes, as home values are going up, they're inflating. And why? Because obviously lumber costs and concrete costs and labor costs and everything is going up, but literally also everybody's wages. So as wages go up, that pushes what people are willing to pay for the home. And all of that combines to push values higher. Now, people ask, do we have too many homes on the market? Is there an oversupply? Is there an undersupply? And that's the piece that I can point to. So anybody who's going to say, look, I'm waiting for prices to fall here in Yuma, Arizona. Well, they're not going to fall here in Yuma, Arizona, because you can see we don't have an abundance of supply on the market. The builders are building in accordance with the contracts that they're bringing in. And what most people have not really paid attention to is look at the amount of people that are moving this direction. Now, when I say that, we've talked about the heat maps and other things that show population drift. If you see people moving from California to Arizona, why are they doing that? And we're going to pause. We're doing that because you have people keeping their telecommuting jobs. They're keeping their California wages, and they're willing to work remotely and live in a place like Yuma, Arizona. So you're going to see more people coming in versus more people leaving. What that means then is you have more demand for a product, not an oversupply of a product. And all of a sudden, that proves one piece to the puzzle of why prices are not going to fall here in Yuma, Arizona, is you've got more people coming into the marketplace. Now, number two, look at jobs. We have the hospital continuing to grow. We have the military facilities, both MCAS and YPG. We have the Border Patrol staffing up. You have lots of industry with secure jobs here continuing to grow. So that means you don't see people losing jobs in the area. And yes, we've had some other places like Shaw Carpet, you know, big industrial facility that's going out. Yes, there's some that go out, but there's more coming in than are going out. And there's some other things that are coming into the market that will continue to push that demand even higher. So is demand going up or down? You as a consumer can say, yep, demand is going up. You can see people moving into the marketplace. You can drive around and see that homes are not sitting on the market very long if they're priced well. Now, yes, you have the occasional person who is trying to overprice a home or a piece of land, and it's going to sit for quite some time, but there's still value-based sales in the market. So all of those combined, I can prove to a client, please don't wait until values go down because they're not going to go down. If you wait until interest rates go down, all that's going to do is force the price of the home that you're looking at in a year or two higher, and you're going to have a payment that could be the same. It might actually be higher. you might actually wait for interest rates to go down. And if they went down, but the price of the home went up, according to the statistical average, you might actually still pay more monthly for that house. I'd rather buy the asset when it's cheaper, the sales price cheaper, and then I would know in another, say, year or two, I could turn around and refinance that at the current interest rates. So that's the biggest question I get lately is, should I wait to buy until values come down or rates come down? And the answer is no to either of them if you want to be safer. So we're going to talk about that and way more after this break. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. Whether you require low volatility, liquid assets, or longer-term investments for higher returns, it's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Good morning, Yuma. Again, one more time, Money Talk AM 560 KBLU, Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Mortgage One. Again, just kind of going through some of the questions that we've gotten the first couple of months of this year. And it's interesting that the biggest question isn't really the question that people are asking, is they're fearful. And people are starting to be fearful because they're hearing things in the market and they're hearing things that make them a little uneasy, like, man, I don't know if I should buy because I think interest rates are going to come down. Or, man, I don't know if I should buy this new home because I hear values are going to fall. And so I appreciate the questions all the time, and I actually value that because I literally let everybody know, look, I'm okay with the fear-based questions, and I'm going to give you my opinion. And they are my opinions, but here's how I would be doing it. And several of you know, I like rental properties, talk about them, do them, etc. If I thought values were going to fall, I would sell my rental properties. I wouldn't want to own any of those assets. So again, what I would always ask is, when you hear things like that, are you getting information from people who are in the marketplace, who are doing those things, or are you getting information from people who are trying to help you because they have a fear as well? And let's be honest, sometimes the person who you ask is a family member or a good friend, and maybe they got burnt one time, or maybe they tried something and didn't work. Again, I know some of my closest friends over the years tried to talk me out of starting businesses, tried to talk me out of having rental properties because they did something and it didn't work, but for whatever reason it didn't work. And I think I can identify those things. Most of the time when your cousin, your aunt, your uncle, your father, your best friend is saying, oh, you don't want to buy a new home, you just want to be conservative. Look, I agree. I want to be the most conservative guy out there, but I'm also going to use tactical ideas, not emotional ideas. When I say that, if I say, oh my gosh, I'm not going to buy a new home until interest rates come down, I can't control when they're going to come down. Maybe they'll never come down. I do think in the next couple of years they will drift southwards, but what if they don't ever come down? Then I'm making the statement that I'm never going to buy another home. That doesn't work. If I can afford the home now, and let's pretend I do own one, if I sold my home and took that equity and moved it into another home, I'm literally buying and selling in the same marketplace. So everything, price per square foot, the value of the home is all the same. I get to move into the new one, and if I'm waiting for rates to come down, cool, I get to then refinance, and that's one of the things most people don't talk about. Or the problem is you hear a lot of mortgage and real estate people talk about the refinance like it's a guarantee and it's the holy grail and it's going to fix everything. No, no, that's never a guarantee. That's an option that could come up, but most of it is if I'm buying and selling in the same marketplace, then I'm not going to get hurt that way. Now, let's talk about, do I need to sell first before I buy? And that answer is no. For most people, they're told, yes, you have to sell. You got to sell your home. You got to get the equity. You got to move it into the new home. The most important thing is, are you reasonably going to sell the home for what it's worth so you know about how much cash you're going to get out? one of the things that most people don't look at is what's called a bridge loan. And if you've never heard of a bridge loan, that's literally all it is you're bridging from one property to another. And the bridge loan is probably the easiest way that you do, in essence, a cash-out refinance. That's not exactly what it is, but you're going to do a cash-out refinance on the home you live in, take out not all, because you can't take all. You take out about 75% of what that home is worth minus what your payoff is, so hopefully you've got some equity there. You put that money down on the new home, and now you have two loans, but you legitimately and legally now own the new home. You get to move all of your stuff over to your new home, start enjoying it, clean up the old home, stage it. And if you talk to the professional real estate agents, they're going to tell you, take out all of your personal stuff. You want to stage the home where it looks clean, like a model. Well, if you've done the bridge loan and you can get out of the home, take your equity and move it into the new one so it doesn't hurt you, now you can stage your home and it's clean, it's empty, it's staged, it's ready to go. You're going to maximize the sales price, but you also now potentially can build in up to 12 months worth of payments, or you've got an interest only loan payment on that new, on the bridge loan purchase. There's a lot of creative ways that you can do that that build safety and security. And when I say I'm conservative about these things, again, you're never maxing out the loan to value on that property. You've always got equity. So if you could drop it, meaning the sales price, let's say it wasn't selling for whatever reason, you could drop it a little bit and entice people back to look at your home. If it's staged super good, you know, you walk into some homes and there's eclectic furniture or it's just cluttered. Some of those things are going to turn off other buyers. Why? Because they can't see the bones of the home. They only see the value, like what you value in the home. So a lot of times the bridge loan actually allows you to sell the home for more money than less money. So that's another technique in the marketplace that, you know, hey, I know I need to sell the home. I know I'm not going to keep that home as a rental property, which I would always want to talk to people about. But if you're not going to keep that property as a rental property, cool, let's do a bridge loan. Let's get you into the new one. Let's maximize the staging for your real estate agent's benefit. And let's turn this into something where it's a stress-free process versus, oh my gosh, I've got to sell my home right now. Oh my gosh, if it doesn't sell this week, I'm going to lose the home that I'm trying to go under contract with. And let's be honest, if you know a real estate agent, which most people do in this community, if you ask them how many sellers want to accept a contingent offer, and that answer is almost none of them. And a contingent offer is, hey, Mr. Smith, I'm going to offer on your home, but it's contingent on me selling my home. And if I don't sell my home, then I'm not really under contract and you really can't keep any of my earnest money, et cetera. You know, most real estate agents would advise their sellers probably not to do that. If I was a seller looking at a home and I looked at a contingent offer and it took my home off the market for quite some time, probably wouldn't do it. I would probably counter and say, okay, I would take the contingent offer, but I'm going to ask you, leave the home on the market. Now, all of a sudden, if I get another offer, I'm going to give you 72 hours to lift that contingency, which means there really is no contingency for you. It's only, you only have to fulfill it if you sell your other home. But the irony is most people that do that, I just saw one. Guy lost a very nice home because he couldn't lift his contingency. He and his family were super excited to get into it. They couldn't lift the contingency. And what ended up happening? Another person came in, bought the home. They lost it. They're back to square one. Had they done the bridge loan like I explained to them in the first place, they would not have lost that home. So there's a lot of products in the marketplace. And when I go back to the fear-based questions we had in the first segment, most of the time is let's just sit down and have a conversation. And whether it's come in for a cup of coffee, just call and ask questions, there isn't any problem with any of the questions. It's most people don't, I don't want to say they don't show up to ask, but they don't just take down the defensive walls and the fear-based walls and come in and ask. So I would certainly say, come in, talk to myself, talk to Bill Kraft, talk to Rosa Castillo. You can walk in the office over at 1375 West 16th Street anytime. No way you're missing the Mortgage One sign with a big American flag out front. Give us a call, 483-LOAN, which is 483-5626. Happy to answer those questions, but you'd be surprised how many really cool products there are in the marketplace that make things easier for people instead of waiting until the market moves. Because that's the biggest thing is I hear people say, man, I really wish I would have bought a home 3 or 4 years ago before the market went through the roof appreciation rates. Yep, wish you would have too, but you didn't listen. You know, man, I wish I would have bought that other home and kept my first one as a rental when the market was down because the homes were so affordable then. Yep, wish you would have too, but you didn't listen to the path because you got emotional and fear-based there. And look, I've gone through that too. Everybody listening to this, and I'm telling you, I've made more mistakes than anybody on the real estate side and learned from them. Yes, I wish I would have bought a ton of homes back in 07, 08 when the market crashed. How many of us had a ton of cash sitting around in 07, 08 when the market crashed? You know, it's kind of like looking at your grandparents and saying, you know, grandma, grandpa, why didn't you buy 100 homes back 100 years ago when homes were $3,000, $4,000? And they're going to look at you and I and go, that's because we didn't have any money either, kid. What are you talking about? So again, it's just the process to say one at a time, if you don't own a home or you have a family member, I'm talking to my oldest son right now. He's super excited. He's trying to save up the money for his first home. He's talking to me about, hey, a $250,000 home at 3.5% down is this much, Dad? And do you think this is a good area? This is a good area. You know, it's kind of exciting to get him working on that. And he already knows the plan. When he buys the first home, 1 to 2 years later, I want him to buy another home. And 3 to 4 years later, I want him to buy another home. And he's just going to play Monopoly starting 10 to 15 years earlier than I did, 10 to 15 years earlier than a lot of people did, because I'm kind of nudging him in that direction. And that's kind of the biggest thing is if you have questions, come in and let either Bill, Rose, or myself nudge in the right direction, not for our benefit, but for your benefit. Going back to, do you believe interest rates are coming down anytime soon? Nope, I don't. And the answer is crystal clear. Google it right online. What's the estimated interest rate environment? Fannie, Freddie, Realtor Association, Mortgage Bankers Association will tell you they're expecting it now to stay right near 7% because of what's happening in the economy. As the stock market does better, interest rates do worse. The only real reason we got back down into the threes way back in the day was your rich uncle with the unlimited checkbook that literally had no stops bought every bond that was in the marketplace. The Federal Reserve was buying residential mortgage bonds, commercial mortgage bonds, junk bonds, driving the price of the bond up, which drove the rate of return down for the investor, i.e. you all as a consumer. So unless you see a weird world event that our stock market crashes, there's a global armed conflict, or you start to see the economy just fall off a cliff, you're not going to see interest rates drop anytime soon. Why? Because the major investors get to choose where they put their money. Do they put it in the stock market? Do they put it in the bond market? And right now, where would you put it? If you're going to get, let's say, 7% on your money in a mortgage, and you're going to get 10 to 15%, and I say that because some of these stocks are doing 10 to 15%, you'd put your money back into the stock market. Why? Because the bond market still has costs to procure. You have costs to service. So if mortgage rates are running 7, the investors are not actually earning 7. That's the gross revenue, not the net revenue to them. When you and I see stocks that are doing 10%, that's the net revenue to you and I, not the gross revenue. So there's a lot of other things that we're going to talk about. And I know we're coming up on the bottom of the hour, so we will take a break here in just a moment. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Oh,
Good morning, Yuma. One more time. It is 8:29 a.m. on a gorgeous Friday. I don't know if you guys have felt the weather change. It started to get warm again, getting a little stuffy. Allergies seem to kick up. And you know, it's funny. You listen to the physicians. They say, oh, for allergies, move down into the dry desert. But it seems like every time the weather changes from hot to cold or cold to hot, I get stuffed up. Literally everybody I know gets stuffed up, and it's the allergy season is upon us. So can't wait to see everything blooming, you know, whether it's the citrus starting to grow. Love that smell. But, oh, my gosh, do my sinuses and nose not appreciate the allergy season. So hopefully you're not like me, and hopefully you're right as rain, and you're planning on a great, great, great couple of weeks. Couple of things that I would love to talk about is the Caballeros de Yuma just had the Bull of the Desert competition this last Saturday and had an amazing event down at the Yuma Palms Mall right in front of Dillard's. Was a great location. Huge shout out to the Palms Mall. They really helped support the Caballeros de Yuma and the Bull of the Desert competition. Had about 30 competitors, and holy buckets are those guys and gals strong. There were five different events, got a lot of pictures and videos, and some really, really, really good comments on that. If you hadn't been down there, that was a great move of the location. So the chairman, Jacob Reeves, moved it over to the mall, had way more people in the community out taking a look at it, had a lot of spectators, which I think was great for the competitors. Actually had some people yelling and screaming and cheering them on. Man, again, those guys were lifting upwards of 280-pound dead munitions, not live munitions. Had one competitor ask me if they took the firing pins out. I'm like, well, I didn't see them do it, but I'm pretty sure the military took the firing pins out of those. Upwards of 300-pound sea bags. The Atlas stones, watching these guys and gals go from the smallest to the biggest, and the heaviest one was a 330-pound spherical concrete ball. I'm just going to say most of the Caballeros, when people were not watching, went over and tried most of the apparatuses. So if you know anybody who may be in that organization and they're hobbling around just a little out of sorts this last week, you know why. They overdid it and they tried lifting and pulling things that they probably should not have. Huge shout out to, again, Jacob Reeves as the chairman and all of the Caballeros for putting that on. El Presidente Frank Saldana for believing in that and helping move that over to the Yuma Palms Mall. So again, thank you to Dillard's for allowing us to use the parking lot out front. Several of the sponsors you had, again, everybody went out of their way to help make this possible. And it's certainly not possible without competitors, both local and regional, looking to get some more competitors down here this year. And if you feature yourself as a fairly strong man or woman, you can certainly call the office and register for next year. Several of the cabs who originally thought they were going to probably should not, and we will talk them out of that. Now, coming up again, we had talked about March 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th, the funnest weekend for me ever. And growing up here in Yuma, I don't know how many of you remember growing up as a kid going to Midnight at the Oasis. Prior to Midnight at the Oasis, going to the San Diego Padres spring training games here and knowing that the Caballeros de Yuma used to put on the spring training games and facilitate that for the Padres. And then when they decided not to come back to Yuma, changed to use the complex for Midnight at the Oasis. Such a great event to get out where the weather's always turned. It's warm during the day, just a little bit cool at night. But the funnest weekend I have here in Yuma, growing up as a kid, I remember going out with my dad and hanging out with friends. You know, as you got your license, then you got to drive up and just do that on your own. And then once I started having kids, you know, we get to take the kids out to Midnight at the Oasis. A huge, great lineup of entertainment this year. Some very cool new things that I would encourage everybody go to caballeros.org. Look at the lineup and the schedule. And I will tell you right now, the one thing that I hate, especially because this show is called Money Talk, is when people waste money. And I'm just saying the cost of a all-weekend passport of $30 compared to a Friday night concert ticket of $20, a Saturday night concert ticket of $25, It's already way cheaper just to get the passport. You don't have to buy the day tickets and you just wear the lanyard. If you have never known about the passports, it probably took me 10 years until I knew there was a passport. I just always went and bought tickets. Go get the passport. And there's several businesses around town that you can go get the passports. I don't know if they are out there yet because that wasn't part of what we were talking about on the show. But you can certainly call or go by the office and see Marissa and Jasmine down at the Caballero office down in the old City Hall building. They have the passports on sale. $30 for all weekend, all daytime, all evening, concerts, the whole nine yards. And super exciting that Counts Customs is coming down. Counts Customs, if you've never watched on the History Channel, they have a great show about creating and modifying and rebuilding some crazy cars. Counts Customs is bringing down one of their trucks. He's bringing down partner Horny Mike, and they're going to bring their band down. And they are actually the closing band Saturday night. So super excited that we're going to have, again, bringing in even better entertainment. We've had some great entertainment over the last few years. Even better entertainment, some really cool stuff. Lots of the same that you guys have seen, and lots of new things. There's going to be a whole new awards ceremony. We're going to get some of these things videotaped and put out there. We're going to live Facebook some of the awards ceremony. So building some national following on this. But for you and I, it's just getting out and having a great weekend that is very, very affordable. For all of you who may or may not have gone up to, let's say, the Barrett Jackson auction, that's fairly expensive to get in. You pay the one day, and it's a huge travel time for you and I. And I love going to those things. I really do. And went up there, had a great time going up there for the day, spent a lot of money. Cool, was worth it. Here, we get to be down here all weekend long, having a good time, talking to friends. And the best thing about this, the best thing for most people who don't know, this is all a nonprofit. So all of the money that the Caballeros raise doing this basically gets divvied up into running the office, scholarships, and back into major funds that we donate through the community. So again, it's amazing to me that a lot of people don't realize that this whole event is a fundraising event for the Caballeros de Yuma. And all of those monies go back into either running the organization or back into scholarships, which the scholarship applications, for anybody who is asking, all of those have been published. And again, the Caballeros de Yuma this year are slotted to give away up to $33,000 in scholarships. So if you know of a graduating senior or you know of somebody who has already graduated a year ago and they're continuing their education here at Arizona Western College or any of the partner campuses, there are scholarships available. Would certainly tell you to get online, caballeros.org, download the scholarship application, and know this is what those funds are raised for. Now, when you go into the food court for the Midnight at the Oasis, have you recognized that all of the food vendors are all of the other nonprofit and community organizations? It's Rotary Clubs, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Optimist, etc. None of the food vendors in the food court are for-profit businesses. These are also nonprofit community-based groups. So this is one of their largest fundraisers. So again, what the Caballeros do is allow other nonprofits to participate in the Midnight at the Oasis. And let's be honest, we can't do it without their help. And if El Prez or Captain Midnight were here, they would let you know that without the other support groups, there's no way we're able to put on an event that has upwards of 50,000 people walking through the gates to see 1,000 classic cars on the field and have events going from 9 in the morning till midnight, Friday and Saturday. Well, I should say Saturday is 9 to midnight. Friday is noon to midnight. Sunday is 9 to 1. So let's be clear on those times. But you have a ton of things going on inexpensively, but none of this comes together without the support groups. So again, appreciate the support of the Rotary Clubs, the Optimist Clubs, the Boy Scout, the Girl Scouts, all of the other community groups, and lots of other small ones that I don't even have time to name that assist in various areas, whether it's trash cleanup or assisting in selling things or stocking things. It is a huge, huge ordeal, and it's probably the most fun that this organization has putting on. And it's the time of the year that I like the most because it reminds me of, A, growing up with, you know, my parents, but B, taking the kids out when they were young. And now the kids are old and they just don't need to come out with me anymore. But you may have kids or grandkids that come out and do the whole thing. So March 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th, coming up just really about 2 weeks away, we've got Midnight at the Oasis. Get your all-weekend passport. And again, I hate people wasting money. Certainly, I'm sure, you know, some of the other volunteer groups would say, oh, no, we want you to spend the $20 on that ticket and $25 on that and spend $45 for the whole weekend. No, no, go get the all-access passport and just spend the $30, which is basically the same as a concert ticket almost for Saturday, and just get out there all weekend. Have a good time. Mix and mingle. And the biggest thing that I loved seeing my kids is most of the car guys and gals that are sitting out there with their cars, they love talking about it. When you go to some of the other car auction shows, there's never anybody there talking about your car. You can read the little stand and see it, take a picture. But a lot of these guys love to open the doors, show you what they've done, talk about the upgrades that they've done to it, or how they found it as a rust bucket and they've turned it into their pride and joy. That's the fun stuff, is learning about the history of these things and also just talking to people about what got them to Yuma. Oh my gosh, you're from Vegas. What made you come down for this? Oh, we've been doing it for 20 years. Those kinds of things. So again, if you have any questions, caballeros.org, you can find all of this about Midnight at the Oasis. You can call the office, 343-1715. Marissa and Jasmine have the all-access passports on sale there. They can give you directions of what other businesses around town have the passports for sale. Josh Finkbeiner, our car chairman this year, has been running this year's car around. If you know Josh, I think he's enjoying that a little too much because I think I've seen him driving a little too fast around town in that car. Runs really, really good. You need to come out and check that out. But other than that, back to, we've got a great community. And that's the other reason that, again, when people say, do I think values of homes are going to fall? No. And you see people moving here. You see the community doing more events and things to support one another. You see that the business infrastructure is growing, not shrinking here. So all of those things combined tell me that I'm not waiting for values to fall. I'm just not. And if I believe the first home or the home that I'm going to buy now is one I'm going to live in, it really doesn't matter if values fall, interest rates fall. If I can afford to get into it now and I can conservatively live with my budget right now, then I'm going to get into it now. And if rates fall, then I can turn around and make that payment cheaper with a refinance. But if values fell later, that means the home that I'm selling would have fallen as well. So I would have lost just as much money if I'm moving up the food chain. If I need a home and I don't own one now, I'm not going to wait another 2 years of renting an apartment or a home. And again, I own rentals. So again, it is what it is. But I'm not going to wait another year or two and pay rent when I could be paying a home for the next year or two and starting that principal reduction and gain the somewhere between 2 and 4% equity appreciation that all of the very educated economists are expecting. So it is 8:43 a.m. We are coming up on another break. We will be back after this message. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they believe they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. Visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com and find out why investors switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
All right, Yuma, we are 8:44 a.m. on a gorgeous Friday, and it's amazing how fast the time goes when we're in here. And, you know, it's not unlike having a consultation with a client where they come in and they expect to be there 10, 15 minutes, which is never the case. It's always an hour, hour and a half, time to just sit down and chat and get to know one another and find out goals and dreams and fears and all of those things. That's one of the things that I really love about the mortgage industry that, you know, here's my pain. I was a renter for 5 years. I rented in an apartment complex for 3 years, and I was such a great tenant paying on time that year four, my rent got raised. Year five, my rent got raised. And after 5 years, I finally figured out that I should probably own a home and just quit paying rent. Now, if you know me, I'm analytical, I'm anal, and I'm really good at numbers. So bought a home, you know, again, great process, didn't know what I didn't know. So I didn't ask the seller to potentially cover my closing costs, negotiating that as part of the purchase price. I didn't ask for home inspection, didn't ask for home warranty because I didn't know those things existed and nobody nudged me, or I was too stupid and I just didn't listen. I hope it's the first, could be the latter, who knows. But going backwards, here's the problem. The day after I moved in, when I turned the air conditioning on, it didn't work right. And when I say it didn't work right, it didn't work at all. So literally the week I moved into a new home, I put a new air conditioner in. So now not only do I have a down payment and I paid all my closing costs and I had to put a new air conditioner in, then my silliness decided, well, let's go back and figure out how much money did I waste on rent over 5 years. So between the rent over 5 years, between the closing costs that I could have negotiated plus the air conditioner, I lost about $50,000. Oh, by the way, the equity appreciation, because what I could have bought the home for over 5 years earlier was about $60,000. And what I did buy the home for, which was a small townhouse, was $80,000. So lost $20,000 worth of appreciation, lost part of, and I didn't add in all of it, didn't add in all the rent, because you and I know that some of it would have been principal, some interest. But I lost about $50,000 because I was too stupid and nobody said, hey, Derek, go buy a home. You have a job. You can do this. Let's go, dude. And I just don't like people making $50,000 mistakes like I did. Now, look at the purchase prices back then versus where they are now. If you rented for 5 years today, plus the appreciation rates of just between 2 and 4%, as most of the economists are projecting, your loss is going to be way more than $50,000. That's the conversation that I love to have with people, is if you had a perfect plan, and here's what I'm hoping my oldest son does and the two behind him follow through. Look, you're 21, buy a home. In about 2 years, you buy another home, turn this one into a rental. 3 to 5 years later, you buy another home, you turn the second one into a rental. 3 to 5 years later, you buy your fourth home, you turn the third one into a rental. And all of a sudden, over about a 15-year, maybe 20-year run, you know, Evan, you could own four homes, you live in one, you have three as rentals, and I'm pretty good at math. If the average home in 20 years is worth $300,000, three times four is $1.2 million, you've got $1 million worth of real estate, and over a 35, 40-year working career, you've got all four of them paid off. Now, that's playing really, really conservative. That's not trying to go buy three, four rentals every year. That's not investing in a ton of other stuff. That's just life. Honestly, just living, you're working, you've got enough money to support yourself. Just do this life thing and get way farther ahead than I did, and let me help you. And that's my only conversation with my three kids about. I'm willing to nudge you and push you, but my gosh, you just have to realize, please don't spend every gosh darn dollar, invest some. And that's why when Russ and I are talking about it, you know, my kids already know the personal budget is just assume 1% of the purchase price is what it's going to cost you to maintain that house annually. So if you bought a $250,000 home, I'm going to guess it's $2,500 needs to be budgeted to pay for the home in whether it's sprinkler repairs, a hot water heater blows once in a while, AC filters, light bulbs, sprinklers replaced, all kinds of things that people just don't pay attention to that. But that's a line item on my personal family budget, which we go through with all of our clients. Why? Because while people are fearful in the market, I want to know that they're not fearful of their personal family budget and that they have the wherewithal to cover all of this as they go forward. So Evan And again, because we were just literally talking about this 2 days ago. You know, Evan's talking about, Dad, I need to save up 3.5%. Here's the purchase price. Let me get into a home. Would you do a townhouse? Would you do a duplex? Would you do a triplex? I said, well, dude, if you could find a triplex, I would love you to get into a triplex. Those are harder to come by, and it depends on where your working career is going to take you after college. So, you know, some markets, they're plentiful. Some of them, they're not. If you could, at worst, find a very good quality small townhouse, something like a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 2-car garage, something where you love living in for the first year to 2 years, and then you know it's going to be a safe, good area for a rental, absolutely, let's go and get that done. Why? Because, yes, in the next couple of years, if interest rates go down, and here's the if interest rates go down, we're going to refinance and free up the payment, so hopefully it cash flows more. And if they don't, at least you've bought the home and it's now part of the portfolio. So he's excited. He's starting to talk to me about real estate and things that he can build on his future at age 21, where you see a lot of people who come into my office are 50 and they're scared to have those conversations. Look, I know my kids were scared to have those conversations, but they've also heard me talking about it, so it's more normalized for the last 25 years. If you know that you have those questions, call or come by. If you have friends, kids, grandkids, family members, somebody that you want to just have a conversation, there's never any pressure. There's never any push. And here's the one thing that bugs me is you see a lot of lenders that they're going to ask for a credit report fee up front. They're going to ask you for the appraisal fee up front because it makes you feel like you're now captive. No, no, don't do that. Come in, have a conversation. This is about a relationship to make sure that everybody in Yuma, really everybody in the United States, could get ahead doing this. But let's make Yuma financially stronger and a more financially educated community because we understand things like real estate. We understand things like rentals. We understand things like budgeting and investing. And I love talking with Tom and Adrian and George and batting these things back and forth because they're the opposite side of the fence. They're investing the free cash flow. I'm investing in living and making sure the homes become an investment. And when you put the two things together, it's not 1 + 1 = 2. It's this whole, just this multiplication of what you can do based on living very conservatively and not having to take a lot of risk with your real estate. Then you get to have free cash flow to throw over to guys like Tom and George and Adrian to invest for yourself. All of that comes down to every question I hear is always layered with fear. And the fear is people, I think, are taking a good stand of, I want to know more. I need to have more information to make a good decision. And if I get enough information, then I can eliminate the emotions and it's now all tactical. It's no different than when anybody listening to this is driving to work. Let's say El Presidente Frank Saldana is driving from his house to work. He tactically knows the route that he's going to drive to get from his home to his office, ArborTech. Now, he may take a different route based on he wants to get donuts or coffee for the guys or whatever else. But tactically, he knows he's going to get there. He doesn't need to see every stoplight along the way. Emotionally, you feel confident that you're going to get there. Now, he's a safe driver. He's probably thinking, you know, I got to defensively drive and make sure I'm not going to get in an accident. But you don't see the path the whole way. You know the destination and you know how you're going to get there. Same thing with real estate. I don't know how my kids are going to get 4 to 8 houses apiece by the time they get to retirement age. I don't know the path because I don't know where they're going to be in their career. I don't know what city they're going to live in. I don't know whether they're going to find a single family home or duplex. But I do trust that by the time they're ready to retire, each one of my kids has put away, let's call it 8 houses, and they put away money in their 401ks or their IRAs, and they actually have something for retirement, as opposed to the scariest thing is the person who bought one home, lived in it for 30 years, didn't put a whole lot of money away. And I do see some that have good money put away, but the home is free and clear, and now they can't afford to live, so they have to come back and get a reverse mortgage. There's a lot of reasons to do a reverse mortgage, and there's some great products out there. But I see a lot of people who don't use it as a vehicle to further their retirement. I see them doing it as this is the emergency surgery. The only way they're going to last is if they do the reverse mortgage. And, you know, again, my mind goes to what happened in life for the last 40 or 50 years. Was it a death? Was it an illness? Was it a divorce? Was it a bankruptcy? What happened to not allow those things to happen? And again, there's no judgment from anybody within the Mortgage One family. These are just the conversations we get to have because at some point we go back and fix it. You can be 50 years old and start the whole monopoly process and pick up 3 to 4 homes over the next 20 years. Not out of the question. You could have 3 rentals and still a home to live in by the time you're ready to retire. However, if you don't start today, it's not going to happen. And then it's going to be the exact same as where we started this morning. The person who says, I think I'm going to wait until interest rates fall. Or, oh my gosh, I'm going to wait until home values fall. Well, can you identify when that's going to happen? And the answer is no. Nobody can tell you definitively if interest rates are coming down. Nobody can tell you definitively when values are going to fall. And there's actually, I just saw a huge, I think it was on CNBC yesterday. And one of the things I do every morning is I try to flip through the channels and just get the flavor of the day, what the media is talking about. There was a very well done interview, and I believe it was David Burt that was talking about the change in the insurance industry that is going to cause stress on the home industry. And we've seen that. If you and I have had a conversation, California, lots of the major insurance companies have pulled out based on the weather, based on the economic, based on the political climate over there. So you've actually seen huge companies canceling policies, not renewing policies. And there's a huge bubble in their market that is uninsured, and they actually had to start a state fund, not unlike when you see some of the state workers' comp funds for insurance over in California. He was talking about what happens if that extends nationwide, that if the insurance carriers start to back out, you could have people paying triple, quadruple for insurance or certain areas even uninsurable, which would then really cause havoc on prices, et cetera. So I do think you're going to see areas of the country have issues. And when I say areas of the country having issues, you know, my heart goes out to anybody who is affected by the fires that were just done in California. There's areas that they may not have people moving back into for a decade. Who knows? But those fires are going to make insurance carriers think about where they're extending coverages, and that could cause people not to be able to buy a home in that area because if you can't get insurance, you don't get a home loan. So all of those things kind of come back to, hey, let's sit down and have conversations. And that's the beauty of myself, Bill Kraft, Rosa Castillo over at Mortgage One, is you can call or come by anytime and we'll have these humanistic conversations. It's not a high-pressure sales because that's the worst thing ever. Now, that aside, here we go on a couple of weeks of great events here in Yuma. We're pontificating on the radio. We can't do any of these without the amazing men and women in our armed forces, both currently serving, retired, generations past. You know what? We do live in the greatest country on earth at the greatest time in history. And I have never been more proud to live in this country and fly the American flag out front of our building to say thank you to the men and women that do defend this country. Less than 3% of the population will ever serve in our armed forces, and I've not. So again, if I can do something for a military man or woman just to say thank you, whether it's a conversation, a cup of coffee, thank you so much for serving on our behalf. Stay safe. Have a great weekend, everyone. Bye for now. Money Talk, AM 560, KBLU.
The opinions voiced in Money Talk with Tom Rush and George Davis Wealth are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial or tax advisor prior to investing. Guests on Money Talk are not affiliated with CWM LLC. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.